Let's pray. Father, we come before you in the mighty and awesome name of Jesus, and we thank you, God, for your word. It says that we're born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. So much that you've given us through your word. And we do appreciate it, Lord. Continue to teach us your ways, your thoughts, and your insights. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in this series, praise God, of dangers to your walk with God. And we've talked about false doctrines and I forget what the last one was. but today, disobedience to God's word. A danger to your walk with God is disobedience to his word. First and foremost, as I just prayed, we're born again by the word. We're taught by the word. The word guides us. The word is alive. The word feeds us. The word protects us. You know, I mean, I could go on and on and on and on as to what God's word does for us. So you can understand by the examples that we've been talking about with the children of Israel, how that because of their disobedience to God's commands, they lost their rightful inheritance. God didn't pull any punches. He doesn't play favorites. Ephesians 2:2 says, "Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience." Ephesians 5:6 says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And then Colossians 3:6 says, "For which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience." Now, if you look, I've got disobedience underlined. And the word there is G543. Colossians 3:5 again mentions children of disobedience. One more scripture is 1 Peter 2:6 from the New Living Translation. As the scripture says, "I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word. And so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But to you, you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." So we see, again, the main thing was they did not obey God's word. And then in 1 Peter 2:8, you see the word underlined disobedient. So we have G543 and G544. So let's look at those definitions. I'd like to draw your attention to the scripture above and notice the word disobedient, the strong numbers next to it. The Greek definition of the word disobedient, G544, is to disbelieve willfully and perversely. not believe, disobedient, obey not, unbelieving. And so next, let's look at the scripture above where we've seen the word disobedience. Okay, here is Strong's definition, G543. Disbelief, look at in parentheses, obstinate and rebellious. Disobedience, unbelief. As you can see, being in disobedience puts you on the wrong side of God. Okay, here's some other scriptures with the same meaning. Romans 11:3. And I left the strong numbers in there so you could see how it fits in there. For as you in times past have not believed, G544, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, which would be the children of Israel, because the children of Israel didn't believe, that allowed the door for us to be brought in. Romans 11:32, for God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon us all. G543 again in Hebrews. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter in, and they to whom it was first preached entered not because of unbelief. That is being obstinate and rebellious. So it's more than just, well, I don't know if I really believe that or not. It's an entirely different attitude.
Like, I don't care what you say, I'm doing this.
Yes. I don't care. I'm doing my own thing. Yeah. I'm going back to Egypt where I was comfortable. I might have been in slavery, you know. I might have been a lower class citizen, but I was comfortable. Figure that one out. Hebrews 4:6, because of unbelief, obstinance. Let us labor, 4:11, Hebrews 4:11, therefore to enter into that rest. It's talking to us now, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief or obstinance and rebelliousness. God's given us his word, right? God's word is pretty plain. It doesn't need, you know, if we take the time to study it, it doesn't need special interpretations. It's not so mysterious that, you know, we can't understand it. As I said earlier, disobedience will put you on the wrong side of God. As we've learned before and seen the scriptures above in Hebrews, God's chosen people could not enter into his rest because of unbelief or disobedience. What was that rest? They couldn't enter into his rest. What was that rest? It's sort of a tricky question because it's both natural and spiritual. They couldn't enter into the promised land. That generation, God got so frustrated because of their unbelief. Remember, they said, why do they provoke me? Or why do they hate me? Again, unbelief is quantified as obstinate and rebellious. Why are they like that after all I've done for them? They will not enter in. Their carcasses are going to rot in the desert. So for 40 years, that generation that came out of Egypt, they wandered until that generation died. Then there was a new generation that, and the only two that were allowed to enter in were Joshua and Caleb. Why is disobedience such a danger to the believer? Think about everybody that you know who is not, well, obeying God's word. Flat, you know. Why is disobedience such a danger to the believer? As we've seen in the definition above, one of the words used is rebellion. Okay, that's G543. Disbelief is obstinate and rebellious. Why is it such a danger? Let's look at how our Father in heaven views rebellion. Look at 1 Samuel 15:23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And this is God speaking. And stubbornness is as the iniquity of idolatry. That is obstinate. Stubbornness. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee from being king. This is spoken to King Saul. So, what did King Saul reject?
The word of God.
The word of the Lord. And because he did, he was rejected from being king. He lost the throne. Let's look at this passage to get a fuller meaning. Look at Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness, or in the day when they were provoking God through their disbelief. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do err in their heart. They have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter because of unbelief or because they were rebellious. They were obstinate. And they couldn't. And God, in his righteousness, God, in his justness, he can't make, well, you know, okay, I know you guys are hard-hearted, and I'll give you another chance. You know, once he says his word, and he's proved himself, you know, all of these things need to be examples for us because of what lies ahead for us. We talk about the rapture, the coming of the Lord. When it's time, it's time. And, you know, again, we how many times have we talked about there'll be those who knock at the door and the Lord is going to say, I don't know you. He won't make any concessions. Once the door is shut, you know, get a picture in your mind of the ark. And it says that door was so big, Noah couldn't have, or and his sons, they couldn't have closed the door. It was so big. It says God closed the door. But get a picture in your mind. The water's rising. The water's right. There's people. Now everybody, You know everybody's making a beeline for the ark.
Mm-hmm. No, it's too late.
And the door's closed. You have all the mamas with their babies, young kids. They're holding them up. Please save my baby. It's too late. God does not make concessions. He gave his word. And when it's time, it's time. Mm-hmm. And we have got to understand that. But in this society, everybody just lackadaisical, oh, you know, God is love, and, you know, mamby-pamby. And it rebellious, unbelief. We must ask this question. What was the act of disobedience that they were guilty of? What was it that they did not believe? We're talking about the children of Israel. What was it that they didn't believe?
Will you stop tipping on your chair?
The event was when they were at the border of the promised land. Moses had them send out the spies, see what kind of land it is, you know, if it's fruitful, if it's good. Look at the cities. Are they walled? Are they unfenced? You know, look at the people. Are they strong? What kind of people? Give me a report. And they came back, and they says, yeah, it's good land.
But there's giants.
And we can't take it. But that isn't what God asked them. Or Moses, I should say. Moses just said, tell me what you see. Because God had already said, I will go before you. I will drive them out. What is it that they did not believe? It wasn't God's word. He's already over and over and over for years and years and years said what he was going to do. You don't. It's the Lord. The Lord's going to drive them out from before you. You're just going to be the mop-up crew. Luke 6, starting at verse 6, from the New Living Translation. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, listens to my teachings, and then follows it. He is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays a foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against the house, it stands firm because it was well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like a person who builds his house right on the ground without a foundation. When the flood sweeps down against the house, it will collapse into heaps of ruins. So here's some scriptures. This is what God was desiring for the children of Israel. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. God was desiring for the children of Israel to be a beacon of light, that through the children of Israel, God could display his glory to the world. Look at this. This isn't the scripture. Deuteronomy 11:27. It says, a blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God. When we see the word commandments, when we see the word the law, the commandments, the precepts, it's all the same. It's all the word of God. It's all God's word. Exodus 19, above 5, if you will obey my voice, what do you hear when you hear his voice?
The words.
His words. His commandments. You know, his words. And he says to Moses, write down what I say. My words. Write them down. A blessing if you obey the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. But turn aside out of the way which I command you this day and go after other gods which you have not known. He knew what they were going to do. He was challenging them to not do it. Deuteronomy 30:11. For this commandment which I command you this day, it is not hidden from you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who shall go for us to heaven and bring it to us, or that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know, basically, they've been hearing it all along. It's been with them. It's nigh unto you. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments. All of that is the word. That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away so that thou wilt not hear, but be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I will denounce you this day that you shall surely perish and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whether you pass over the Jordan to go and possess it. For us, if you are drawn away and worship other gods to serve them, for us today, what would that be equal to?
It could be anything that you put above God.
Yeah.
Like your job.
Your car.
A job, a car.
Your cell phone.
Relationship.
Mm-hmm. YouTube.
Money.
Facebook.
Fame.
Yeah. A lot of things. Huh?
Sin is missing the mark.
Sin is missing the mark. You know, basically, you know, the Bible tells us, be separate. Come out from among them, says the Lord. We are, that's what he was telling in Exodus, the top of the page here, Exodus 19:5. If you will obey my voice indeed, keep my covenant, then you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all the people that are in the earth. That word peculiar means an executive. You are special. There's another word. What am I thinking of that, the other word? It's not for everybody. Exclusive. An exclusive treasure. So what does exclusive mean? What is the first part of the word exclusive?
Exclude.
Exclude. That means not everybody can be a part of it. Exclusive. That means there's special, particular criteria that you have to meet to be a part.
Members only.
Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of people can lay down themselves and do the right thing. They want to do the right thing, but they don't. Like Paul talks about.
And yes. And so we have got to learn what is the most important thing. And, you know, I go back to the story of Mary and Martha. Mm-hmm. You know, remember the word that we had in the summer when we were at the park. And the word, the Lord gave us a word that meant or was saying to be a part, or let me see, don't be so busy. You're going to learn as you grow along, that the most important thing is hearing his voice. Not through anybody in particular, but your time when you're listening, when you're having your time with him, which is a lot of times the way that you walk, the way that you live. Not having other things occupy your mind. Did you know that you can be at work and not have other things occupy your mind? You can be doing your job, but keep your mind on the Lord. I have gotten great revelations before while I was on a job. God is not looking for us to obey him for his own pleasure. Understand that. God isn't desiring these robots, you know, to just come and, you know, I love you, I love you, I love you. You know, that isn't what God is looking for. But that his blessing would come upon those who would take his word to heart. God has spoken to what would happen if his word was obeyed, and also what would happen if his word was not heeded. Remember, you are called to be a peculiar treasure, to show the world. God needs us so that he can channel his love, his glory through us, so that people can see, wow, you have a good God. Somebody open up to Deuteronomy chapter 4. I'm recording, so I can't.
You know, Pastor Vince, the past few days, I've been seeing, like, illusions. Sometimes I look towards a window or door, and it's like I see somebody standing there.
Wow. Could be your guardian angel. Deuteronomy 4, let's start at verse 4. Okay, let's go to the regular. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Okay, let's start at verse 4. Anybody else have their... Guys, this is for your learning. But ye did cleave unto the Lord your God. Ye that did cleave to the Lord are alive, every one of you this day. Verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses talking. That you should do so in the land where you go possess it. Listen closely, verse 6. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of who? All the nations, which shall hear all these statutes. See, it wasn't just for them. God was wanting to pour in his character, his glory in his people so that the nations could hear. And then, and say, so as a result of hearing, the nations hearing, they would surely say, this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who has God so nigh unto them as the Lord God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous, as all this law which I set before you this day? So it's basically saying, if we become that light and we allow God's glory and not be rebellious, not be obstinate, but we're obeying God so that he can pour out his glory, people are going to go, wow, what a God you serve. Man, what wisdom you have. What nation is it? What people, who is like Christians? Is what they should be saying. Wow, there's nobody so wise as these Christians. But that isn't what they're saying, is it?
No.
Oh, my Lord.
Well, they don't see the Christian's love, and it's their love that sets them apart.
Yep.
If you're not loving and you just look like the rest of the world, then how is there any difference?
Yep. If you can't, if you don't love God with your heart, soul, God is love. He's the epitome of love. He radiates love. And he desires for that to radiate in us, but it's based upon our obedience. It's not just a feeling. It is to the true nature of God's character comes. In fact, John 17, Jesus says, I've shown them your name. And when he said that, basically he was said, I showed them your character. I showed them who you were. I showed them everything about you. He manifested it. But what is it that God desires to accomplish so that he is so determined that his word be followed? And we'll finish here. Look at the following passages of Scripture. Exodus 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, who's speaking? God is speaking. Then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which you speak to the children of Israel. Look at Isaiah 61, verse 6. And you shall be named the priests of the Lord, and men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat of the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast yourselves. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Our Father in heaven desires to reveal his glory and goodness through his people. That has always been his program. Oh, that the blessing that would have been manifested had the children of Israel been obedient to the word of the Lord. For us, this speaks especially boldly because we have been allowed to partake of that blessing as we trust. The blessing that they could have had, we have an opportunity to partake of that as we trust, believe, and obey God's pure word. And in closing here, 1 Peter 4:10, as every man has received the gift, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God gives, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What is it? That is a danger? Disobedience to God's word. Amen.